Hello, and welcome to the Rising Engineer Podcast, a podcast for engineering students by engineering students. I'll be your host today, Gavin Knutson. This week, we'll be talking with Andy Bush and Topher Hopkins. Andy Bush is an associate researcher with Direct Lab at Utah State University. Do you want to give us a little bit of your background in your education and some of the work that you've done?
Sure thing. So my education, my last primary degree is a PhD from MIT in autonomous systems. And specifically, the department was Aero-Astro Department. So it was basically autonomous systems, AI applied to robots for the aerospace industry. And I also got a minor in brain and cognitive science. So those are basically artificial intelligence applied to robots. And then brain and cognitive sciences, the trying to model the brain as it is, as humans think. So it's kind of like two sides of the same problem. As far as my work, two of the main places I worked are General Motors and Lincoln Laboratory. So Lincoln Laboratory is a lab associated with MIT, well, owned by MIT. And they do work for the military primarily, and also NASA and a few other organizations, but it's basically aerospace applications. And when I went there, we started an initiative to bring machine learning into the laboratory, where they were doing a lot of signal processing and things like that. The next more current way of doing the same kind of thing, but at a higher level, is machine learning. After I was there a while, we moved along to autonomous systems. So planning, scheduling, reinforcement learning applied to various high-level control problems. I was fortunate to They have this program where they would fund your PhD very generously if you satisfied their application process. So,
awesome. Thanks for giving us a little bit about you. I'd like to go a little bit into your education at the moment.
Sure.
So school can definitely be hard, and maybe a story or an experience about something that was challenging and what you were able to learn from overcoming that.
Sure. Well, I mean, big picture, MIT is pretty challenging. When I went into it, I was really happy to be able to get in and to get funding. But the beginning of my career there, I found that I had a lot of traction and I made progress pretty well, quite well. I recall that a lot of people talked about how, you know, this kind of a doldrums, or you can get into a rut when you get doing a PhD for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's the direction you want to go in versus your professor. Sometimes it's you burn out, really, something affecting your motivation, because it is a lot of work. So you have to really be motivated and want to keep doing whatever it is that you're studying. But I never thought it would happen to me. And then about 2.5 or 3 years into it, I was kind of burnt out from the whole process. So, you know, that made going forward hard. And, you know, I don't know what the solution is. You just have to dig deep. You have to work with other people, because other people are generally quite motivating and they bring different ideas, and then may just grind on an idea that you know is a good idea, even if you're not loving it at the time, but then you gradually get traction and then move along. So that would be my advice. One other good thing is to stay balanced at school. MIT provides a ton. They're not known as a sports school, but they have a lot of intramural activities. So I participated in a variety of intramural sports / activities, especially most notably sailing. I did a lot of sailing at MIT. If you go on larger boats, it's a great team sport, so it's really fun.
Yeah. That definitely sounds fun, and definitely having that something to do that gives your body and your brain something to do outside of that rigorous academic work.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely something that can help us through some of these tough classes.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'd like to go in a little bit into some of the past research that you've been in and just ask you about, how did you get into that, and what would be your advice to anybody who's wanting to get into the research field?
One area of research that I worked on a lot is attention mechanisms for robotics. It comes in multiple forms. You can think of it as foveal vision, so where should a sensor be looking at in the area, because there's always too much area to cover and too much data to process. Understanding the scene and what you're looking at can allow you to process it much more efficiently. And I took the approach of, what is the purpose of the data you're collecting? What is the control problem you're trying to solve? So if you're trying to steer a car, you would want to collect data that is pertinent to the action that your car needs to take, such as turning left in an intersection that you don't have a light telling you you can turn left, things like that. Also, so the same idea, which is attention, can apply to the more macro picture, which is like, say, for weather data or military data that you're trying to collect across a large area. You can use the same concepts to figure out where should we be collecting data. And that data can be more or less relevant to the problem that you're trying to solve. So your military problem, your weather understanding problem, etc. So that I researched, that was the kind of thing that I researched. An interesting thing about research is the way that I got into the research fields that I liked is getting involved with various organizations that care about these problems. So I got involved with Lincoln Laboratory. When I was going to school at MIT, whenever we had a visiting researcher, I would actively reach out to them and talk to them about what their problems were. For example, there was a guy from NASA Ames Research Laboratory who was working on satellite sensing. I talked to him about his problem, and then he let me write some analysis code on the paper that he was working on. And then the following summer, he invited me to work there for the summer as an intern. So that was really interesting. And then when I went there, I not only worked with him, who was a planner, kind of a classical planning approach, I worked with a guy named Nico, who was a reinforcement learning expert. Working with the organizations that care about the problem, and then you get to know about the problem, and then you get to meet new people, and it helps you form what you would like to do. We had another visiting researcher who was a friend of my advisor. His name was Connor Rajan, and he worked at Ambari, Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute. And he came and talked at our lab multiple times. So I spoke to him about his problem. And then I went out there and did an internship with him over a summer as well. And that was on autonomous underwater vehicles, where we wrote a cool algorithm for controlling those platforms for the purpose of collecting underwater sensor data.
Now, I'd like to ask you a little bit about what are you working on now?
A year ago, I was working at General Motors, and there I was working on autonomous road vehicles. So for that, I did a variety of things, kind of centered around what I talked about, mapping, attention, things like that. So it's a combination of collecting sensor data, understanding the control problem of what you're trying to accomplish, and at the center of that is putting together a map accurately that will satisfy the autonomous system needs. And also we worked on a preliminary architecture for a autonomous moon rover. That was a collaboration with Lockheed Martin that we put together a kind of a framework for that vehicle, from the autonomous control system to the hardware platform to some algorithms, fleshing out roughly what algorithms would be needed to make a system like that work. Since then, I've been working with USU on quadrupeds. We're basically working on a survey paper covering control of quadrupeds for the purpose of jumping over a gap or a void.
By quadruped, you mean a robot with four legs, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a little dog. There's the main one was made by Boston Dynamics. I don't know if it's the first one, but it's the most notable one. And then there's other companies that make derivatives of that.
Before we head out, I'd like to ask for any tips, advice, tricks, or anything you'd like to share with our audience about succeeding in school mm-hmm. or succeeding in work.
My degree is very advanced, and so I definitely am very good at succeeding in school. I don't know, I guess finding a good fit is really important. My first school, University of Buffalo, was not enough of a challenge for me, and that wasn't good for me. And Rensselaer Polytechnic was an excellent fit for me, and even though it's a harder school, I loved it, you know? It was just a better fit. And MIT was a very good fit for me as well. So finding a good fit. So MIT is more innovative and researchy than Rensselaer. Rensselaer is very good at kind of hardcore, computer programming, you know, any kind of technical stuff, but it's kind of an engineer's engineer school. And I really loved it. So I think finding a good fit is important. If you want to get a PhD, Leslie Kabling told me that, why should you get a PhD? She said, you should only get a PhD if you really want to get a PhD. That was her opinion. So in other words, is the payoff of a PhD worth the number of years you put into it? Maybe not financially, but because you put a lot of years into getting it. But it is really, really rewarding and fun. So it's more interesting if you like doing research. I guess the best way to find out if you like to do research is, you know, find affiliated companies doing research, see if they'll let you work on something with them, and try doing something with them. One of my philosophies on how to conduct research also comes from a book I read called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. That might sound cliche to some people, but I thought it was really interesting. So in that book, one of the things they advocate is a regular engineer in the real world, you'll understand the problems associated with the domain you're working in, and then you'll understand why you want to go back and push the field further than you already did. I think that's a very smart and motivating way of thinking about how to get into research.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time here.
Thank you.
Now on to the interview with Topher Hopkins. Topher Hopkins is an electrical and computer engineering student at Utah State University and is currently acting as the president of the robotics team in the USU Robotics Club. Welcome, Topher. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, some of the things you're learning about in school, some of the extracurricular and work?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm Topher Hopkins. I'm an electrical engineering student here at Utah State. I'll be a junior this fall. I've been here for about a year and a half after getting home from my mission. That's not quite the whole 2 years you need to be a junior. I was ahead in a couple of credits that bumped me just far enough ahead, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because I'm probably going to have to extend my degree anyways. Although I hear that's, from what I understand, that's pretty normal among engineering students. Pretty tough degree. But yeah, I'm excited to get into my junior year. From what I've been told, it's really difficult, but also you learn just so much that it really makes it worth it. So that's where I'm at in school right now. I'm also working at a company called Gearworks here in Cache Valley. It's a consulting firm, and so they do a lot of work with outside companies, building things for them. They do everything from PCB design to machining and just all sorts of different things. But predominantly what I've been working on since I got hired is just computer programming. And so that's been a lot of fun. I'm also the president of the USU Intelligent Robotics Club, which is a little bit of a distinction from the robotics club as a whole. There's lots of different parts to it, just for different robotics interests. In intelligent robotics, we work a lot with autonomous navigation, and it's a lot more heavy on the coding than on, for example, the combat robotics, where they work with battle bots doing those competitions. So a little bit different, but we're hoping to also compete in some competitions of that fall in our scope pretty soon here.
Awesome. That sounds really cool. Now, I'd like to ask a little bit about robotics. How did that start out? How did you become interested in robotics? And what are some of the things you've learned as you've had these experiences at work and through this club?
Yeah, of course, that's a great question. I first got involved in robotics. I think my first experience was probably in middle school, where we were doing the Lego Mindstorms. Unfortunately, I think like halfway through the semester there, things kind of started to fall apart. People were like stealing Legos from each other's builds, and it didn't go over too well. But what I did get to do there was just kind of get a nice introduction to it. Following that, I kind of pursued other interests. I think especially just because it didn't really pan out in that class. It was not well put together, I guess. But once I got here to Utah State, I had a couple classes with my good friend Tanner, and he started getting involved in clubs. He knew a lot more about, I guess, the importance of clubs and getting different experience, which I didn't really understand at the time. And because we had similar interests, we were both studying electrical engineering, he invited me to the club meeting one day to come check it out. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I guess I should probably like get a club. Like that looks good on a resume, right? Which yes, it does, but it's also, I think, a lot more about what you learn while you're there than specifically what you do. Especially having the opportunity to be in leadership in the club, I think that's really important as well. More than just being able to write it down, it's important on applications because it shows people that you know what you're doing, that you were able to actually get things done, which if you just sign up to be the president and don't do anything or any other leadership, they're going to know if you can't put anything substantial down. Let's see. So that's kind of a little bit about how I got involved in it. I think one of the biggest things is I decided in high school that I didn't want to be a computer programmer after taking a programming class. Didn't like the teacher that much, and I really just kind of lost steam with programming because as cool as it was to make computers do what I wanted them to do, it was just mind-numbing for sitting on that computer for that long, which was kind of funny considering what I'm doing now for work, computer programming. But it is something that I realized is a lot bigger part of electrical engineering than I originally would have guessed. I kind of thought I'd just be like soldering stuff all the time. Like, obviously, I'm thinking, oh yeah, putting together robots. But something that at least I didn't really think about that much was all the programming and how intensive that part of it is. And so specifically, I've learned a lot about Arduino and microprocessors so far between my job and being in the robotics club, and just how much there is to learn about robotics. I would have originally thought with autonomous robotics, like, oh yeah, you plug in the sensors and then it works. But really building from the ground up, it just takes a lot of work to put all the moving pieces together, and that comes a lot through microprocessors and like Arduinos and things like that, just getting the computing down and making that go. So I guess that's probably the biggest takeaway I've had so far from electrical engineering and specifically robotics.
Cool. Yeah, I can definitely corroborate that. There's definitely a lot of programming in electrical engineering as a discipline. It sounds like you've had a lot of growth throughout your time here at college, at university, and throughout your different experiences. I'd like to ask, if you were to start all over again, what's something you wish you would have known back then when you first started that you know now?
I guess specifically with engineering, just taking the perspective, I think from high school I kind of carried over like, okay, I've just got to get the grade, got to do the work, do it really good, and then get the good grade. But that's the biggest thing with engineering is you kind of have to make mistakes and mess up a little bit, and it's really not going to be perfect the first time or even the second or third time, which is something really important to understand. And with that, I think comes the perspective of not being so focused on what grade you're getting in your classes, although that is really important because it reflects on how well you're doing, but more to be focused on the learning. If you can make time to understand the concepts and not just do the homework, it really makes a big difference in your enjoyment of the classes and also just overall learning the concept. If you're going for understanding and not necessarily just to ace the assignment, you're going to grow a lot more from that, which is something I think I skipped over a lot at the beginning. And I guess that also comes with not procrastinating, because you really, it's a lot harder to understand a concept when you're doing the homework the night before it's due.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that I feel like I've had to learn too. I think that's something that everyone just goes through, and they learn that college is just a different beast. It's a lot different than what it was like in high school, and you kind of have to get into a different frame of mind. You brought up that you want to get interested in learning the concepts and understanding the fundamentals and building up from there. What steps or what techniques have you found that helps you to get to the root of the issue and understand those fundamentals?
That's a really good question. I think back on Circuits 1, where I guess a big part of it came pretty naturally to me, just like visualizing how the current would flow, where the voltages should be in a voltage divider, like why that works. Some of the basics I feel like came pretty easy to me, but I think something that really helped was taking advantage of the tools that were available. My teacher provided a simulator called Every Circuit, and just being able to visualize that completely, that really helped me a lot. So I think that utilizing the tools that you have, some people learn really well with a textbook. I personally hate textbooks, and I think I've done just the absolute bare minimum of textbook reading up to this point just to avoid that. Pretty much the only reason you'll find me going to a textbook is if a homework problem specifically asks for something and the teacher was not very clear about it. But yeah, I guess just using whatever tools are available, find simulators, find online tools. There's a lot of people who make videos that can really help you out.
You said earlier, it's not always very easy, some of the classes that we go into. So what's a challenge that you faced and you had to overcome?
So this last semester, I was taking a differential equations class, and that was probably the class that I've done the absolute worst in college so far. Luckily, the teacher had it set up to where there was redemption available for me. The first two midterm exams, I think I got Fs on, which the only way I was able to make that up was that one of them was dropped, which was so fortunate. But after failing that second midterm, the date to be able to drop a class without like significantly impacting your GPA was coming pretty close. And so I was really heavily debating dropping that class just because I was struggling to understand, struggling to get the assignments done, and when the test came around, just struggling to grasp this concept. Because differential equations is a really hard class. I don't know if you've taken that yet, Gavin, but
yeah, it's definitely one of the rougher math classes.
I feel like the concepts are kind of tricky to understand, and especially if there's just any sort of difficulty in communication between you and the teacher, like if their teaching style just doesn't teach well to you, or you're really lacking on some other resources outside of class, it just becomes super difficult to understand that concept. But that's besides what I was trying to get at. Just a super difficult class, and I was getting really close to dropping it. But I just decided, you know what, I've put in all this effort already, like might as well stick it out and just see where it goes. And so it took a lot of hard work. I kind of had to let up on my other classes a little bit to give this one some more focus. Sometimes it took some sacrifices and just putting in the time to understand the concepts. I guess that's another lesson I would recommend. Don't try and take two math classes in the same semester. I had calculus 3 and differential equations, and that was just so much work. But you know what? It can be done. I did end up pulling my grade back and passing the class, fortunately. But it really just took kind of taking a step back, like I was talking about, and focusing on the concepts and not just the homeworks, which in that class it was specifically incentivized. The tests were just worth so much more than the homeworks that, you know, even if I didn't finish all the homework problems, understanding the concepts would really help me out on the tests.
Thanks for sharing that. That's definitely not something that's easy to talk about sometimes, our difficulties, but you know, we look around, so many people go through something very similar. I'd like to ask you one last question. So what are you most looking forward to in the future?
That's another good question, and I think the easy answer is to be graduated, which is a bit down the line. I've got 2 or 3 years left, so I think more importantly than just being graduated is really taking advantage of these experiences in college. Up to this point, it's kind of tricky to like get involved. You can join clubs and you can do other things like that, but for example, getting in the labs here at Utah State, getting some experience there, or getting a job is pretty difficult when you've just started off. Generally, anybody who's wanting to let you get involved is wanting to wait a little bit more until you have your once you've gotten some of those classes done, once you're understanding circuitry better, because otherwise they just have to teach you so much that it becomes not worth it. They need you to be able to get to that certain point. But I am looking forward really to, obviously I've got this job that has been really great, as well as the robotics club. I'm really looking forward to getting to apply the skills that I'm learning, continuing to learn, and just learning more. That's really the point we're here at college. I know some people maybe just here to get a high paying job, but that's something that's really that I've been trying to make more of a focus, was focusing on the learning, not just focusing on getting it over with.
I'd like to turn the mic over to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our audience, any tips or tricks or things that come to mind of getting through engineering school and making the most of it.
Yeah, for one thing, I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I think getting involved in clubs is super important. There's lots of different clubs that can suit your interests, and I know that a lot of people are busy, you know, working through college, trying to add in that extra time is super tricky. But most clubs, even if all you have is an hour or two a week, it is worth it to get involved there. You're going to connect with other people who know more and who can mentor you. You're going to connect with other people on your same level who you can kind of bounce ideas off of them. You can learn together. And so it's really just a great place to be to join in a club, find other people who share your interests and will be able to help you out. Other than that, I would probably just say you've really got to find the reason you're trying to learn. If that reason is you just want to get a high paying job, then that's great. You can use that motivation to get through school. But I feel like a lot of the engineers who really make it are the ones who find the purpose in the learning. Remember the reason why they're trying to learn it, because it's gonna get pretty tough. You're gonna have really, really hard classes no matter what your major is in engineering. And if you're not looking for a deeper reason, it's gonna be really tough to keep on moving.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time here today and for talking with us. So
no worries. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me and giving me the opportunity to share a little about my experience.
Thank you for listening. I'd like to thank Andy and Topher for agreeing to appear on this podcast. I'd like to thank our editor, Densley Knudsen, and the Utah State University College of Engineering. I'm your host, Gavin Knudsen, and we hope to see you next month for another podcast.